This is our daily reading for Monday, April 6th. We are picking up in the very last verse of John chapter 7 and then continuing into chapter 8. It says, "They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?' This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him." Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. This conversation continues, but that's a pretty good chunk for us to consider for today. So let's go back and talk a little bit about what we've just read. So here they bring in this woman that they say has been caught in the act of adultery. And they rightly say in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a one. So what do you say? And verse 6 indicates they were saying this in order to test him so they'd have some charge against him. But Jesus doesn't go along with this. He doesn't play into their hands. And they continued to ask him, or in my words, I might have written this, they continued to badger him. Then he stands up and says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. So this has been a misused passage by some, the idea that only someone who is completely sinless can accuse someone else of sin. That's not what he's stating here. I would remind you in John chapter 7 and verse 24 that Jesus said that we are to judge with right or righteous judgment, and that judgment is based upon the Scriptures. No, I think what he's referring to here is Deuteronomy chapter 17 verses 6 and 7 that says, on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses, the one who is to die shall be put to death. A person shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. The hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. I think that this was given as a test of the witnesses. You know, if you're going to say that you're being honest, you're not bearing false witness, you're not breaking the commandments of God, they actually did do this, then you're going to be the first one that is going to inflict the sentence upon them so that their blood is on your hands. So let him who is without sin among you. Well, what sin would he be talking about? Some people say that he's saying, without any of this sort of sin, adultery, sexual immorality. But I think what he's saying is the sin of false testimony or of entrapment. I tend to think, and this is, you know, me giving my own opinion here, but I tend to think this was probably a situation of entrapment. That they're using her to try to get to Jesus here. And so he's telling them that if you're completely true and completely honest, then let you be the one that takes on the responsibility of witnessing against her. But nobody was willing to go that far to have her blood be on their hands. And so it says that beginning with the older ones, they began to leave, going their way. Perhaps it's the older ones that have enough wisdom to realize that they don't need to be involved in this situation and they cannot, with a good conscience, participate here until it's left to just her. And Jesus says, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. You know, she doesn't defend herself. She doesn't try to say, hey, I didn't do this. We don't see her saying, they entrapped me, they tricked me, anything at all. She doesn't do anything. And she stays and just waits. Now, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Does he have the authority to condemn her? Sure he does. Would he have the divine knowledge to know whether she was guilty? Sure he does. So he would be completely innocent if he condemned her. But he doesn't do this. Jesus is the great physician to bring about the cure to the disease of sin. And so what he tells her is, I don't condemn you. He's not condoning the sin. He says, go and don't sin anymore. So it's not that Jesus says, oh, you're okay. It wasn't that bad of a sin. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't do it anymore. You've been given an opportunity. And so she needed to take advantage of that opportunity. So they're just trying to entrap him, and Jesus handles it well. Of course he does. And then Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Again, this light versus darkness, good versus evil, righteous versus unrighteous. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, light pushes back darkness. So the Pharisees said to him, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So we're kind of right along with, you know, you've got to have two or three witnesses to establish a truth. Jesus said, even if I do bear witness about myself, which, again, we've talked about this, about the witness of the Father, the witness of the Spirit through the Scriptures. Those are external witnesses as far as they're seeing there, the Father and the Son. So, but Jesus says, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you don't know. He says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, he's not contradicting himself. But he is, as we're going to learn, as we continue going through the book of John, that he does speak the word and he speaks the truth. He is the light of truth coming into the world. And that will be a judgment upon all men. We are judged according to the truth of the word. That's been revealed to us. That is the standard of judgment. But he says, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. The unity that we've been talking about. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bear witnesses about myself. Doesn't have to be him bear witnessing about himself. Again, the Father and the Spirit are both bearing witness. But he says, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Then they focus on the Father. Where is your Father? He says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And that is how we know the Father. It is revealed through the Son. He is revealed through Jesus the Christ. And these are the words that he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. They can't do anything of their own volition. When Jesus is finally arrested, it's only because he allows himself to be arrested. There is no will of man that can override the will of God and the plan of God. Again, he tells him, I am going away. You will seek me. You will die in your sins. What does he mean by that? Well, skip down to verse 24. I told you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe in Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world, then you're not going to be able to take advantage of the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of the Lamb, and you won't have your sins washed away. So, verse 23, he said, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So, verse 24, then verse 25, who are you? Jesus said, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I can imagine, and this is me putting my human thoughts upon Jesus at this time, but I can imagine Jesus getting a little weary of this conversation by now. I keep telling you, I have told you before, I'm going to tell you again. It's the great patience of Jesus that we can see, but he tells them the truth, and he tells it to them plainly. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. He reveals these things in stages. He's in the beginning stages. He doesn't expound upon everything because they can't accept everything, even those that would believe. So he gives pieces at a time. It's our job as we continue to read through the book of John to gather all those pieces in order to build our faith. So they don't understand these things, and they didn't understand that he's speaking to them about the Father. So he says to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Speaking of when they crucify him. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And there were many that did believe in him at this point. Then verse 31, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Well, abiding in the word means following. Abiding is not just, okay, yeah, he said that. Abiding is, he said that, I believe it, I accept it, and I act upon it. So there's a lot that is covered in saying, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. We cannot be disciples of Christ if we are learners only. Disciples of Christ have to be those who learn and then those who put that learning into action. And it is at that point, verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is a very abused verse. You hear it all the time, just applied to anything, any facts or any arena of thought in which they say, well, this is the truth. No, he's talking about the truth. He's talking about the gospel, the revealed word of God, that which is breathed out by God. If you're truly the disciples, then you have come to know the truth, and that has set you free from the bondage of sin. Well, they understood this, I think, because verse 33, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? He said, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You are under that bondage. The word slave there is actually the word bondservant. We've talked about bondservant before. Bondservant is one who makes a choice. You are not enslaved by the will of someone else. You are enslaved by the choice that you make. And we do that. We make a choice to sin and thus make ourselves a slave to sin. But we can likewise make the choice to take advantage of the offer of freedom from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he says, verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. The son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, we're talking about the Son of God freeing you by his sacrifice from the bondage of sin. Verse 37, I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Uh-oh. He's drawing a line in the sand, if you will, and a line they would understand. He keeps saying that he's been sent by the Father, talking of God the Father, and now he says there's a difference between his Father and their Father. So they're going to understand that he's saying their Father is someone different than God. Though they answer, Abraham is our Father. And he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. Well, what are the works that Abraham did? Well, they were works of faith. Abraham was justified by faith. So if they were truly Abraham's children, they would be doing the works of faith that Abraham likewise did. But now you seek to kill me. That is out of disbelief, the opposite of what Abraham did. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, and this is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. So they're saying, well, we're not illegitimate. We have one father, even God. Well, Jesus is claiming to have the Father who is God, and he says that's a different father than theirs. Jesus says, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. You would accept me, is what he's saying. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he, that is God the Father, sent me. He says, why don't you understand this? Well, it's because you cannot bear my word. You can't stand it. You are of the darkness. You can't stand the light. You are of your father, the devil. Now he's being very plain, very bold. This is like a slap in the face. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Well, he took those lies, delivered those lies to Eve, which Eve then goes and gave of the forbidden fruit to Adam, and sin came into the world, killing them spiritually. He was a murderer. Verse 45, I tell the truth, you do not believe me. And which one of you convicts me of sin? I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? It says that they can't truly convict him of sin based on the truth that he is saying. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. In other words, whoever is of God would recognize that I'm speaking the truth. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Brethren, let's be people of God. Let's hear the words of Jesus and accept them. Let us not be like those of the time of Jesus that wanted to kill him all the time because he spoke the truth and they didn't like it. Sometimes we don't like what the scriptures tell us. It's because it makes us uncomfortable, because it requires change, because it requires us to rise to a higher standard. Let us accept the words of God and truly be his disciples so that we can walk in the light and then be forgiven of our sins. Oh, I am so encouraged by these words today, and I hope that you are as well. This went a little bit longer, but I appreciate your patience in listening in. And I hope that this has been as encouraging to you today as it has been to me. God be with us all is our continual prayer. Thank you.